after the hour. Good afternoon. Good Monday afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And, you know, it was for the Broncos. We finally had a really, really positive weekend. Kind of few and far between this week, but especially for, or this year, I should say, especially for Drew Locke. Four touchdowns on the day. Joining us now, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, I was thinking about you. I know it sounds creepy, but I was thinking about you over the weekend. And we were talking about, hey, does Drew need to perform like out of his mind? Does he have to? Not necessarily. Well, fortunately for him, he did. Four touchdowns on the day.
Yeah, performing out of his mind certainly doesn't hurt Brady. And hey, man, I was thinking about you over the weekend.
You know, it's just, it's good to be appreciated, my friend.
Well, and I'm honored to kick the week off with you. And boy, is it nice to talk about some hope, some good things that we saw on the field, especially from Drew. And of course, the stats were fantastic. I mean, a league best 149.5 passer rating, four touchdowns. I think the most important part, no interceptions, a 78% completion percentage. Those are fantastic, of course, but I loved the way that he got there. And that was by reading the defense and not taking chances when it was unnecessary. When it wasn't open downfield, he just was okay with taking the easy cheese, hitting the checkdowns, and that's what he did in the first half. He had 12 completions in the first half. Nine of them went to either running backs or tight ends, all for short yardage, and he only had 80 passing yards at half. Well, then what happened? Because he was sticking to those easy things that allowed things downfield to open in the second half, and that's exactly what happened, allowing him to hit two deep touchdown passes, another deep one to Jerry Jeudy, and man, he looked like the quarterback that the Broncos hoped he would be.
So, Zach, what is it? Is it that easy? Is it he just wasn't seeing those checkdowns? Was Pat Shurmur in his head wanting to go for home runs so long? Because, honestly, he made it look very easy. You said it. He hit all these tight ends. He was hitting running backs, and then it opened it up in the second half. Again, if he can do that, then I don't think Broncos country has any issues. Is it that easy that Drew Locke just mentally has to look for his checkdowns?
It's about Drew containing himself and containing his excitement and not taking every single deep play. And so, yes, it can be that easy, but how easy is that for Drew Locke? 1 year ago, Drew Locke was talking about how he was this gunslinger that was going to keep shooting threes even if he was 0-for-5. He was going to take that sixth one. He said, you know, I'm going to throw interceptions, I'm going to make mistakes, but the big plays are going to outweigh those. Well, he learned this past year that being a gunslinger in the NFL does not work. You can't do that. You can do that in high school basketball. You can do that at Mizzou playing quarterback. But in the NFL, no. The mistakes aren't going to outweigh the big ones. You know, Patrick Mahomes yesterday threw three interceptions and put his season total at 5. The great quarterbacks don't hit double-digit touchdowns, and Drew's already hit that. So what he realized and what he finally implemented last night and yesterday against the Panthers was, okay, I'm not going to be a gunslinger. He had John Elway in his ear these past couple of weeks. He had Pat Shurmur, Mike Shula, and Brett Rypien in his ear telling him this, saying, Drew, you can't keep doing this. You can't be a gunslinger. Drew listened to them, and then look what it turned out to be. Because there's no question that Drew has the physical talent. He has everything. He has the strong arm. He has the mobility capabilities to work out in the NFL. It's just about making the decisions. And so far up until yesterday, those have been very questionable. Well, we see him take a step back and just play within his means, and look what it can be.
Zach, I know Coach Fangio is going to be speaking at 15, so we'll keep you on. Let's stay on Drew then, because Drew Locke, I mean, that's been the big discussion of the season. And again, we have three more games left, a very ridiculously tough Pittsburgh Steeler beating team in the Buffalo Bills. That's coming up this Saturday. Then you have the Chargers, then the Raiders. So a couple of winnable games later, but that Bills one's going to be tough. So did Drew Locke just confuse everybody then? Because we go from maybe it's time to move on from Drew Locke. I think even the Drew Locke fan club was starting to come over to the dark side. And then this happens. This wasn't just a good performance. This was an amazing performance. We saw that arm strength in the second half. We saw the checkdowns. We saw a lot of great things. The fumble was rough, but, you know, it happens. Other than that, Drew Locke looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was a road game against an average defense. A lot of people like to put down the Panthers and say that they're a bad team. Their defense is average. So, I mean, it's not like he went out and had a great game against a fantastic defense, but it also wasn't the worst defense in the NFL. So keep that in mind as well. And he did it with 60% new offensive line in front
right.
of him. And those changes were made the last minute. So you got to give him credit for that. So what we need to see over these last three games, because you're right, Brady, a lot of people are confused. What we need to see is this process continue to be here. And the process that we saw yesterday, which was taking what's given to him, but then also taking the big shot. Because what I was afraid of in the first half was that we were just seeing an extremely conservative Drew Lock, and I did not want to see that. Well, then we see in the second half, no, he wasn't being conservative. He was just taking what the defense gave him, and when it was the big play, he was taking that. So that's what I need to see. Is it going to turn into four touchdowns, no interceptions every game for these last three games? Probably not. If so, though, yeah, he's the guy. He's the guy going into next year without a doubt. But what we need to see is not him forcing plays and not him having multiple interceptions. You know, he can probably have an interception, maybe two, in these final two games, and you still feel good about him. But he has to keep positive touchdown to interception ratio in every single game moving forward to show that those good decisions truly are outweighing the bad ones.
Zach, got about a minute here. On the running back side of things, boy, this has been another confusing position. Melvin Gordon's playing lights out, perhaps one of the most consistent offensive players for this team the last several weeks. Philip Lindsay has taken the opposite turn, yet we still see moments of inconsistencies with Pat Shurmur's play calling late in the game, backed up to your own five. Gordon has the hot hand the entire game. You go with Philip Lindsay on back-to-back runs. I've been scratching my head so much this season with some of Pat Shurmur's personnel calls, not necessarily the play call itself.
I totally agree, and you hit it on the head. It's the personnel calls with the play calls that have been confusing. And there's no doubt that earlier in the season, Philip Lindsay was the better running back of the two. Yet you saw Melvin Gordon getting the ball more. Now, right now, you see that Melvin Gordon's the better running back, and that's been pretty easy, pretty clear the past couple of weeks. And yet Philip Lindsay still is on the field more than Melvin Gordon yesterday, which has just not been the case. But Melvin Gordon's really heating up. Week one, Melvin Gordon rushed for over 5 yards per carry. From week two up until week 10, he didn't average 5 yards per carry for a single game. But what he's done these past three and four games, I'm going to throw the game against New Orleans out because New Orleans is just stacking the box without a quarterback. So in the past three games, excluding that one, he's averaged 5.6 yards per carry, 8.7 yards per carry, and yesterday 5.2 yards per carry. That's why you signed him, and that's why you have two Pro Bowl running backs. I just wish that they would run with the hot hand a little more.
Yeah, no question about it. Zach, my friend, thanks for the time. I know you got to run. Maybe ask Coach about that. We'll see. We'll see what Coach has to say about a W for the Broncos. Always appreciate you, my friend.
Oh, man. Thanks for squeezing me in here, Brady. Love kicking off the week with you.
Yeah, me too. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Excellent guy. Had to get out early, though. Coach Fangio speaking to media at 12:15. So he'll jump over to that, and we'll hear. I'm sure we'll get some of those thoughts. But some inconsistencies for sure, but the Broncos win. Not necessarily a complete game. You know, again, the defense for the Broncos, I mean, they get after the quarterback. They got after Bridgewater with four sacks. Still not getting those turnovers, though. You know, it's a sound defense. I think they're sound. That doesn't mean they're top five. I actually predicted they wouldn't be top five, Colfax. I said, you know, they're going to be lucky to be top 10. Because, again, I didn't think they made enough big-time moves to be great. And, you know, you've heard me on this for years and years. Hey, if you've got a side that's close to being great, but you just need a piece or two, you go that route rather than evening it out. I like to see teams with a top five in something. Obviously, this game gets started out with a punt return for a touchdown. So that was kind of exciting. I mean, how often do we see that? Deontay Spencer takes it to the house, 83-yard. That was kind of a weird, can you say broken punt play? He kind of falls down, and it causes a defender to kind of move around, and then he looks up, and he's good to go and takes off and runs with it. And he missed the extra point. It's always like a bad omen when Brandon McManus misses an extra point. So I thought, uh-oh, when McManus, your most consistent scorer, isn't getting your extra point, your gimmies, this could be a bad deal. Well, there you go. I mean, Drew Lock did this last year. This is what we got to be careful with. Now, we didn't get to see the body of work before leading up to that 4-1 you know, finish because he wasn't in. He wasn't the starting quarterback until the last five games of the season. If he goes out, you got three games left, and if he comes out the next three games and he's pretty damn good, maybe he puts up some crazy good performances, maybe one's like average against a Bills team that's kind of a complete team, maybe a really complete team, and I'll talk more about that later. Do you look at it and say, all right, he missed a game or two because of injury. He missed the game because of the mask gate against the Saints. And, you know, this has been a completely strange year for a young quarterback. Do you tend to walk away and say, all right, he got those last games in, maybe they weren't meaningful, whatever, but it was just kind of a shattered year for him at the beginning and toward the middle. Do you give him a pass? Or in some Broncos fans' minds, because I've heard it, I've heard Broncos country say it, they're already done with him. It's hard to ignore 21 for 27, 280 yards, four touchdowns. No, Carolina's not great, but as Zach pointed out, they're not the worst defense in the NFL. That's what you take, though. I tell you, you're going to see quarterbacks struggle. You are. There's going to be game stretches where they struggle sometimes. But Locke certainly has more bad than good. I'm not even going to assess it right now. I'm still on that point where I'm leaning toward you need to open up the competition in training camp. Do you bring in a vet that's maybe not a proven starter or a gimme starter, but a guy that could start, like a Fitzpatrick type guy, you know? I'm still kind of there, but I do need to see. Listen, you go up against Buffalo and you give me a performance that's, you know, you throw a couple of touchdowns, maybe no interceptions, maybe you still lose that game. We'll get there. But let's talk about this game and more detail coming up. I want to get to the running back situation. Melvin Gordon's news with the DUI. Looks like he's going to finish the season. KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, all that to get into. And they did all of this, again, with a makeshift offensive line. So it's a crazy time for sure. First Advantage text line. Go ahead and shoot us a text here on our text line 970-478-1301. Sir Charles, come on, slow down. It was another bad team we played, and it was one game. I'm not going there. I'm just saying it is what it is. It's a four-touchdown performance. We said on Friday, you can't just, like Zach even said, hey, he could go out and game manage a little bit, and that's fine. I was kind of saying the opposite. No, I need to start seeing some you know, huge performances, great performances. Well, I got one. So I'd be kind of hypocritical of me to say that's what I want to see Friday, and then to come back and say, well, you know, no, this is what I wanted to see. I got it. I want to see it again. I want to see it again and then again. I got three more times. And then I'll make my decision if it were up to me, right, Colfax? Got a lot to get to do. How about this one tonight on 1310 KFKA? Unless you have the Pac-12 network, this is the only way to find this game. UNC taking on the CU Buffaloes. Dalen Kuntz. The transfer from Colorado to UNC. You don't think that's on his brain a little bit, Colfax? The Bears are 14.5-point dogs in this game. No love for the University of Northern Colorado. Where are my Bears fans today? Because that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. And I need you guys because, you know, this is a lopsided vote. Any chance that the Bears go in into Boulder tonight and upset a top team? Perhaps the best team, and there's really no perhaps, the best team in the state right now. And until somebody dethrones them, that's who they are. It's an in-state game. Is there any chance that the Bears go off? No, that's not the question. Will the UNC Bears pull off the upset? There's no any chance. Will they pull off the upset? Yes or no? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. That's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Broncos. Nuggets had a preseason game. CSU had a football game. COVID didn't cancel it, but something else did. We'll talk about that. So much to get to here on Monday's edition of The Whole Show. Don't miss a second of it. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for some football? Monday Night Football is right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is Dalton Reisner, 2019 draft prospect out of Wiggins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
I'm just so confused anymore, Colfax. This is what we thought. It was going to be Washington at USC for the Pac-12 championship game. CU was going to play Oregon this weekend, for funsies, I think. I just get this. The Pac-12 has, after consultation with Washington, made the decision to replace Washington with Oregon as the Pac-12 North Division team to face South Division champion USC in the Pac-12 football championship game scheduled for this Friday, December 18th. The decision was made under the Pac-12's football game cancellation policy and football championship game policy due to Washington neither having the minimum 53 scholarship student-athletes available for the game nor the minimum number of scholarship student-athletes at a position group. Oh, so they did what the NFL should have did then and not had a game because they didn't have enough players for a certain position. Oh, wow, they actually care about human beings in that. That's right. Well, kind of. It's the Pac-12. In each case, as a result of a number of positive football student athlete COVID-19 cases and resulting... Okay, you get it. Enough COVID stuff going on. So they're going to go, nope, sorry, Washington. And Washington probably agrees at this stage. I don't know. Maybe they're mad. Basically getting a Pac-12 championship pulled away from them. So it's going to be... Now it's going to be USC and Oregon playing for the Pac-12 championship game. So there we go. CU is supposed to play Oregon this weekend. Now, here come the CSU fans. Here we go. Where are you guys? You keep asking for it. We want to have CU. You want to play CSU, or you want the CSU-CU game to happen. Is it going to? Why not? Why not? Just go for it. Let's all do it, man. I'd rather, because CU's not playing Oregon. Who else are you going to play? Might as well do it. I think that they should absolutely get this thing going. I'm going to get Kevin Lytle on in the second hour, and maybe we'll talk about that. Boy, I don't know. It has been a very strange time, Colfax, and that's an understatement, I know. But even for this, I mean, I'm not exaggerating anymore. Every time I refresh something, a new schedule, and I'm talking locally. My little tiny brain cannot keep up with the national cancel. I tried to at some point, and it just wasn't working. I'm having a hard enough time. I'm all set to go for CSU Utah State on Saturday. Then I'm in a meeting. I get out. I'm told that game's not going to happen. I didn't read the story just yet. I'm going, all right, well, clearly that was another COVID situation, right? Is that what it was? Nope. It was a lot more, and I want to get to that a little bit later on in the show. Okay, so now USC at 5-0 will play Oregon 3-2 for the Pac-12 championship. Washington can't go anyway because of enough COVID the big COVID situation. So CU, a 4-1 team, sits at home while USC plays a 3-2 Oregon. Why not just have CU play USC? I thought I was going to start this show today, Colfax, and say, well, so much for that. CU didn't beat Utah. Utah pulled off the upset. And we don't even have to have that discussion because USC beat UCLA. And, you know, we don't even need to talk about it anymore because Washington makes sense. They are same record as CU. They're the top of the North. So it only makes sense. But, of course, nothing is easy anymore. It's all complicated. Washington can't go, so now the Pac-12's slipping it and going, no, we're going to go Oregon instead here. A 3-2 team that is actually is actually tied with Stanford at 3-2. So if you want to go that route, it's like, okay, all right, why not just go Buffs? But they're not going to do that. I can live with that a little bit easier than I could have. If CU would have beat Utah and this was what we were doing, yeah, I'd kind of be freaking out today. But I can live with it. You lost to Utah by 17 points. You can't do it. Now, again, Oregon holds the tiebreaker over Stanford, by the way. I know that. This whole thing is nutty, man. Absolutely nutty. Okay, so here's what happened Saturday. Like I said, I'm out and about. I'm in a meeting. I get out of my meeting, and my phone's blowing up. and it's, oh, no game tomorrow, no CSU game. Thinking, okay, well, CSU was cleared last I checked, so that's got to be Utah State. They got to have COVID issues. Not the case. They announced Friday night that the game was canceled due to concerns voiced by players. The Mountain West said the official standing of the game will be determined after a later date in regards to if the game will be considered a no contest or forfeit. So Brett McMurphy of Stadium reported that the players opted out due to comments made by school president Noel Cockett on Tuesday about interim coach Frank Male's religious background, I believe he's Mormon, with other concerns. So I don't have the direct quotes yet of what was said. It was a Zoom meeting of some kind, and players were in on it, and they were talking about the direction they would go, head coach, and they like this coach, but there's concerns about his religious background. In a statement to Stadium, players from Utah State said they're opting out due to ongoing inequality and prejudicial issues between the players, coaches, and the Utah State University administration. Many players said they were concerned about the religious bias against Mayo by Cockett. He is a Polynesian and a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay, a lot of things I want to unpack here. First off, from what I'm gathering, Colfax, this was a Zoom meeting that players were involved in. So they said the purpose of the meeting was to have a say in the search for our new head coach. No. First, like, that's where I'm going first. I'm not saying what he said was right. I haven't seen what he said. I'm guessing it wasn't right. But why do students get to make my decisions for head coach? No. That's not how this works. I get it's 2020 and everybody's, you know, they want their feelings to be heard. Nuh-uh. I decide who the coach is. You play for him or you go somewhere else. But I'm not doing that with you on the Zoom meeting call. No way. Second, in this day and age, you're actually going to say something on a Zoom? You have no idea. Dude, those robots and aliens can see everything you do on there, man. As soon as I sign out of Zoom, I still don't think I'm alone. Like, I break a computer every meeting I have in Zoom. It's cost me thousands, but I feel safe. No, you don't have this conversation. Ever. So I'm not excusing anything of what he said. There's just a lot of bad things that happen. The final thought is, though, too, Colfax, why are we going to be in this world where somebody says something bad and you just cancel a game? You forfeit a game. You forfeit, I believe. You screwed over CSU, too. They busted their butts all week to play a football game, to play one more game at home. And just because you would disagree with what the hell's going on with your train wreck of a program, you're not going to play that game? That is a forfeit. You get a loss. Rams win. Rams get the dub. Undefeated at home. 2-0, baby. Didn't even have to get an injury out there in the field. I love it. Congrats, Steve Adazio. You got a W. I'm not saying, listen, he could have said something awful, and I'm not agreeing with it. He could have said the worst thing ever, you know? But I still don't know that I, like, the night before, it's like, we're not going to play again. I want to get more details on this, but that was frustrating. That was weird. The whole thing was weird. We're canceling games because of COVID left and right, and now we're canceling games because something said. And listen, I know it was probably bad. I'm not saying that the student athletes made this up. They were actually interviewed individually, and they all kind of agreed on the same thing, and they're probably right. But don't you go out and support that coach and say, hey, we're going to go win one for you? Because, again, there's rumors swirling in Utah State and who they're going to go with. And, yeah, it's a mess over there. I will give you that. But you're not just screwing over yourselves for that last game. You're screwing over another program that has only had, what? Have the Rams played three games? They lost to Boise State and, what, Fresno State? And then they beat Wyoming? That's it. Right? No, San Diego State. You're right. They were 1-3. Okay. So, four games. They were hoping to get that fifth one in. It's a bummer, man. It's just crazy. That's the world we live in. 33 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll catch up with Mark Knutson of WoodyPage.com. Also puts together our Three Strikes blog here. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Just 38 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Glad you could be with us here today. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mark Knutson of our Three Strikes blog here, 1310KFK.com, as well as contributor to WoodyPage.com. Mark, my friend, where do you want to go today? The Pac-12's driving me crazy. I'm excited for a great state basketball game tonight between CU and UNC. Man, there's a lot to hit.
Well, yeah, your tweet said I'm supposed to be mad about something.
Oh,
yeah, so
I mean, you sometimes are mad about stuff, so I just...
Well, sure. I mean, who's not mad in 2020, right? I mean, everything, nothing's right. Everything's all screwed up.
I think that's a new segment we should do. What is Mark mad about?
Well, this year would have needed more than one segment. I'm having a hard time getting over what happened to CSU this past weekend.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Because... And Kelly Lyle on later in the week, and Kelly has a different take on it than I do. We talked about it, and he says, I can see both sides. I can't see Utah State's side of this at all.
I can't either.
To me, it's an absolute, they should be. And I wrote this in the Three Strikes blog. They took advantage of the system. They took advantage of a system that was set up for COVID, right? You're allowed to opt out because of health reasons.
All right, choppy there. Can't hear Mark much, man. So, unfortunately, Mark's cooking on something. He's rolling, but no, we'll move on from it. That's Mark Knutson. Listen, Mark's a passionate guy, and I give him a hard time. He gets mad. He gets cooking on something. I think you have a reason to be pretty upset with what happened over the weekend. This is tricky territory that we're in. You're getting to a point now, and listen, I'm not here to get political on this because I tried. You know, we tried this once over the summer, when the professional leagues up and just boycotted a game. Right? You had NBA teams were in the bubble, playoff bubble. You had baseball teams. Colfax can attest to this. You had baseball teams that just up and decided they didn't want to play a game that day. You know, I think football was in practice, and they didn't practice that day. So they just decided, no, we're not playing. Because some argued with me, believe it or not. I said it's a political stance. Oh, racism and racial equality, if I could spit that out, my goodness, is not political. Okay, the idea of not being a racist, yeah, don't be a racist. This shouldn't be political. But any kind of protest, any kind of urging to vote, that's political. Whatever you want to call it, that was political. So the professional sports landscape set this up over the summer, where if you disagree with someone, you don't like their take on something, or they say something very offensive, the entire team just boycotts. The first trouble with that, Colfax, is what's going to happen when something really bad happens? Really bad. Then your boycott is just the same as when that happened, and then that happened, and then that happened. Like when... Jerry Sandusky did his crap. If Penn State would have up and said, hey, we're not playing, this is that's understandable, right? That was what that was awful, absolutely the most illegal thing you can do. I mean, ridiculous. And, you know, he's paying his price now. But then what happens is now we're willy-nilly just up and canceling games whenever we want to. It just kind of it makes the big issues less meaningful. That's one issue. Now we just up and cancel. You just up and quit. CSU had a game. CSU prepared for a game. And if you want to take the COVID route, they put themselves in harm's way to go out on the field and prepare all these guys out on the field instead of isolating and all that. If you want to take that route, because you can take whatever route you want. I'm not saying what they said over there at Utah State wasn't bad. Like, if you're going to be intolerant, or, you know, you're not going to hire a guy because of his background, religious background, or what have you. I mean, come on, we're at a point now where we're gonna cancel games if a coach yells at a player. Now, again, I'm not trying to compare that right now, but see what I'm saying? You go from pro sports they opted out for a game or two because of a political statement. Now College Sports overheard on a Zoom meeting. It wasn't like it was trying to be sneaky. The guys said it in front of them. They overheard this, and they said, no, we're not going to play in solidarity with our coach. Okay, what's the next step then? Because CSU players were pretty upset with the way things were going at, you know, on the football side of things. Are they going to be next? Because they're under investigations, too. Lobster's on the line. What's happening, my man? What's on your mind?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
You know what? Great win for the Broncos yesterday.
It was a great win. Drew Locke is back into elite status, right, Lobster?
Well, we can only hope so. I'll tell you what, this whole season with CSU has been a total waste this year.
It really has been.
I mean, to me, every game that they try to get in has been completely canceled.
Yeah. I mean, and now you're canceling because of, you know, disagreements with this other school at Utah State, and they do it on a Friday night.
Yeah, which I don't get. It's like, are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah. No. I listen, I'm not trying to be... I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, what's next? They're going to cancel because the coach yells at him. But I do wonder when you get to that point, because we're starting down this... Now it feels like teams can boycott whenever. Oklahoma State football team didn't want to go to practice. They boycotted practice because their head coach, Coach Gundy, didn't... he had a news outlet shirt on that was, you know, a very political news outlet that's more of the on the right side of things as far as conservatives go. They didn't like that news outlet, so they refused to come to practice until he issued an apology and said it was an oversight, he shouldn't have worn it. They boycotted that. So now we're at this point where you can't even be political on your own right anymore without a team absolutely, you know, deciding they don't want to play. So this is where I want to be careful.
Yeah, I think anymore, if you say anything, you know, you're going to be on the wrong side of it, no matter what. Here,
it used to be a kid earns a scholarship, and then he has to do everything in his power to keep that scholarship. Now it's a scholarship, but now I hold all the power, and this is college we're talking about, not even the pros. So it's a slippery slope. Lonnie, cheer me up, man. What's for lunch today?
Okay, I had a pepperoni roll and some corn chip with chili corn chip Fritos, and with a whole bunch of sliced tomatoes. And I'll tell you, I didn't taste better than that.
Pepperoni roll, like that had to be pretty big, Lobster. Those little guys you can get at Walmart.
No, this one you make it. You just add some pepperoni and just put a bun together and put it together.
I like it, man. Sounds good to me.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Great way to start the Monday right there.
Pepperoni, yeah. It sounds pretty good. Did you make it from scratch?
My sister-in-law made it for me.
Nice. All right, Lobster.
They don't trust me in the kitchen.
Hey, same here, my friend. Appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you guys, too.
I just think that it's a very tough spot we're getting into with Utah State. I mean, I am not, again, I don't know what was said. And my guess, I'm going to agree. More players came out and said, yeah, this was pretty rough. We're going to stand back. We're going to back him. I get that. The purpose of the meeting was to have a say in the search for our new head coach. That was a statement from the players in a meeting with university leadership during the coaching search led to the issues. The purpose of the meeting was to have a say in the search for our new head coach, which to me seems weird. During the meeting, we voiced our support for interim head coach Frank Male. In response to our comments, their primary concern was his religious and cultural background. Players stating their diverse faiths and backgrounds then jumped to his defense and treating everyone with love, equality, and fairness. I mean, wouldn't a better statement be to go play for that coach one more game, go win it for him, and then say, hey, we are standing by this coach? You know, what does that look like? Because I think that's a powerful message too. And that way you're not screwing over an entire school, an entire program that's counting on that game. Again, it's Friday night. You put on all that work for that game Saturday. Steve Addazio, all of his coaching. Remember how Coach Smiley was joking with us on the show last week about scouting reports? How many different scouting reports that they've had to like crumple up and throw away? All that work. He told me, Coach Smiley, and this is basketball, he told me, scouting, setting up a game plan, scouting takes these guys, and this is aside from their actual job, when they scout, like if it's their job to scout the Buffs, 40 hours a week. It takes 40 hours a week to put together an effective game plan from scouting and going over film and da 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 da. That's why each coach gets a different assignment. They're not always on. Like, Coach Fehrenbrunk's not going to be doing CU and DU for Wednesday. They have another coach scouting that one out, and he's watching film already. They're already breaking that down. So with football, I don't know what. Probably just not that different. I mean, it's less games a week, but all that work that goes into it, all that work from the players to practice. I've been to several practices in my day. These guys aren't out there playing flag football. They're not out there just doing jumping jacks, and they call it a day. They're working hard. So I want more on this. I definitely want more. This is a tough one to swallow. COVID, we've had to kind of just deal with it. But this isn't even COVID-related. I don't think this should be allowed. I don't think you should just give players the ability to just forfeit. This is a forfeit. This is a loss on your record, Utah State. All right, 12:49 the time. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. More on the Broncos. College weekend was pretty interesting. The UNC Bears are 2-0. CSU basketball did play that game. I totally sympathize with them. I do. Again, the tweet was just ridiculous. I'm glad they got a game in. It was a little scary for them. They looked a little rusty, but you don't press the panic button over those Rams just yet. We'll be right back.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
UNC, CU, big test tonight here on 1310 KFKA. Pre-game set for 6:30, tip-off at 7 o'clock. I am very much looking forward to this. Bears are big-time underdogs in this game. From Steve Smiley, though, talked to him a little bit last week off the air, too. And he said, hey, we're not going down there as a – it's not a – you know, we're not viewing this as a measuring stick game. We're not going down there as a little brother either. You know, we're going down there to try to win a basketball game. You know, I like it. CU's – CU is a great basketball team. And right now, there's no reason to believe that CU doesn't win this thing tonight. But 13.5, 14, yikes. Brian Howell of Buff Zone, a good friend of the show, tweeted this out. I'm getting confused, Colfax. Pac-12, Utah State, Mountain West, cancellations, all this. Okay, so we had the news earlier. Washington can't go. So the Pac-12 championship will be USC and Oregon. Oregon has two losses, so that already kind of sucks for CU, but listen, CU loses to Utah. They made their own bed. I'm cool with that. Brian Howell tweets out, I'm told by the Pac-12, and again, Brian, our guy, is very reliable. I'm told by the Pac-12 that the CU Buffs can potentially schedule another game for this weekend, but in all cases would need to sub in for USC in the championship game if USC were unable to play. So basically, even if the Buffs don't have an opponent, they might have to travel to L.A. just in case. What? What? What are we doing, man? What are we doing? I have no idea what's happening anymore. Hi, boy. It's a tough situation, man. It's a very tough situation. So you have this situation with Utah State and CSU over the weekend. That was frustrating. This Pac-12 thing is extremely frustrating. And I go back to last week. Now, again, CU didn't bring it for Utah. But I'm not giving anybody a pass. I don't want to do that. But mentally, knowing you're not going to play for the Pac-12 championship, do you think some of those players, I know I can already hear you guys in your brain, there's no excuse. But remember 5 years ago when Oregon was told they lost a game or whatever and it knocked them out of the top four rankings, so they knew they weren't going to make it to the playoffs. They weren't going to make it to the national championship. So like the last game of the season wasn't very good. Players from that team came out and said, yeah, once we knew we were out of it, seniors moved on mentally. Just the way it is. You can hate it, whatever, but it is what it is. So did CU in kind of a weird way think, there's no shot? Maybe. You know, listen, I'm not putting it through. Plus, they lose Nate Landman in that game, and that was a huge loss. CU Buffs amazing defensive juggernaut. I hope that doesn't impact his NFL career, man. I really don't. So I want to talk about this. We're going to talk about Utah State and the situation with Coach Miley. That's the correct pronunciation. Let me just correct myself. That's a weird deal. We're going to talk to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and coming up next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.